There are lepers and lepers. In Jesus' day, leprosy named all manner of skin ailments that were feared to be contagious and made a person less than whole. Folks thus afflicted were considered ritually unclean and were expelled from the community. As we heard this morning, they were required to shout out, "Unclean, unclean," as they wandered about so that other people would know they were nearby. If you touched such a person, you caught the uncleanness and could be expelled from the community yourself, which is what makes Jesus' touching the leper in this morning's gospel so very telling. It seems that Jesus did not see his reputation as something he had to protect. He was willing to sacrifice it for the sake of helping someone else become whole again. I have never touched a leper, but I did spend an eventful day with a group of post-contagious women who had leprosy in Edo State, Nigeria. I was spending a summer working at the Jesuit parish, St. Joseph's in Benin City. And one of the places that the priests on the staff regularly serviced was an institution for women afflicted by Hansen's disease, run by a community of Nigerian religious sisters. Most of the folks in their care had been expelled from their families and depended totally on the compassionate care of the nuns. The leprosy had done its damage in all of these women. It was burnt out, as they say. Many were missing feet or hands or portions of their faces. They had been there, most of them, for more than 30 years. During the stay with them, I had two sacramental moments. The first was hearing their confessions, those who were Catholic, and they came to me speaking their local dialect. I hadn't a clue what they were confessing, and of course, absolved them, knowing that God's a great linguist, you know, and just leaving it to God. It occurred to me later on, maybe more people in the States would go to confession more often if the priest didn't know the language they were speaking. Just a thought. But the second sacramental moment was being in the dormitory with these women. Each of them sat on their cot. Under each cot was a little tiny box with all their worldly belongings. And I was at a little table and I presided at Eucharist with them. The readings were proclaimed in their language. I don't recall whether they translated my prayers in the Eucharistic prayer, but maybe it was for them, it was like how it used to be for us when Latin was the language of the Mass as I spoke English. All these women, those who could anyway, sang the hymns with enormous enthusiasm. But what struck me most was when we got to the prayers of the faithful. They said them, of course, in their language, but they were translated for me by someone. One of the women in the course of the general intercessions prayed for the truly poor people of this world who have no one who loves them the way we have the sisters love here in this community. I almost broke down when I heard that. What a beautiful spirit that woman showed. Far from feeling sorry for herself, she was concerned about those poorer than herself. But there's another kind of leprosy caused by human beings. Sometimes I'm sure you've heard the phrase, they started to treat him or her like a leper. The individual thus treated might have been a whistleblower in a company, or not too long ago, women who accused a prominent man in the entertainment business of assaulting them. Leprosy, Hansen's disease, is a physical malady of the skin. But leprosy is also a powerful metaphor for excommunication, for the isolation of someone who has refused to follow some important unwritten rules at the workplace or in their professional life. When someone experiences being made a leper in this sense, we often have clericalism showing its ugly head. Now, in the Middle Ages, a cleric was someone who was literate, who was educated, and thus stood apart and away from the great unwashed, those who could not read or write. In our day, clericalism can afflict any group whose members, one, have acquired prestige through spending many years receiving special education and training, and two, hold in the highest regard loyalty to the group, having each other's back. Both the prestige gained by means of an extensive education and appreciation for group loyalty can be true values. That's not the issue. But when these values become ultimate values, then we start to have a problem. Folks can start protecting those values when they are threatened by scapegoating someone who chooses another value, such as truth or personal integrity or care for the public's welfare, over those two values. In our church, a bishop moving pedophile priests around is partly acting out of horrible clericalism. Not taking victims seriously at a prestigious prep school smells of clericalism. Turning honest police officers who, as they say, rat on other officers, think of the movie Serpico, into lepers is another instance of it. The reluctance of some doctors to turn in colleagues who are engaging in malpractice, or other doctors who shun those who do report the behavior of fellow professionals, show the earmark of this social sin, clericalism. Leprosy is alive in our society to the extent that clericalism is alive. Pope Francis has spoken out powerfully about the dangers of clericalism, and he might be the first pope who's used that term. In 2016, he told the hierarchy in Latin America that the spirit of clericalism is an evil that is present in the church today, and the victims of this spirit are the people of God who feel discarded and abused. In our Eucharist this morning, and every time we celebrate Eucharist, we unite ourselves with Jesus in his self-offering to the one he called Abba, and in his self-giving love of this world. We recall during the Eucharist how others sacrificed him to preserve their status and prestige. Herod and Pilate became friends. They had been enemies, became friends in their opposition to Jesus. Jewish leaders and Roman officers became accomplices in doing Jesus in, they who hated each other, all in order to preserve the abuses of the temple on the one hand, and the Pax Romana, the peace imposed by martial law, by the others. Jesus died a leper, excommunicated, treated as subhuman as he was tortured, and his wrists and feet were nailed to a cross. Whenever we celebrate Eucharist, we are recalling Jesus' free and loving identification with those who are outcasts, rejected, despised. He was, and as the risen one is, willing to become all things for all people, hoping to save all who are open to his love. We, in turn, are called to examine our consciences. Are there times in my life when having someone else's back meant that I sacrificed truth and integrity to protect that individual's reputation, when that person was guilty and that guilt needed to come to light for the well-being of others, and when hopes for the well-being of that individual? The leprosy of clericalism seeps in everywhere. It takes real courage to overcome the fear of being ostracized. The risen Jesus intimately knows all about this process, and his Holy Spirit is available to strengthen our inner selves so that when things heat up, we can tell the truth and not lie, so that we can take a stand for the values of God's reign rather than these values of this sinful social structure called clericalism, which can affect well-educated, privileged folks like you and me.